what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Ever since Voltaire said or plagiarized the expression, it has been one of the guiding principles of Western intellectual life. Academic life is built on the free exchange of ideas and opinions, regardless of where they come from. But a group of European academics have turned the idea on its head. They want to ostracize their counterparts in Israel in protest at the country's treatment of the Palestinians. We asked Stephen Rose, the British neuroscientist who launched the boycott, to justify himself.
I suppose the whole thing begins with the question of what one can possibly do as an individual, as a member of civil society, about the desperate carnage in the Middle East, this endless round of violence and counter-violence. And seeing, for me particularly as a Jew, indeed someone who was brought up in a Zionist household, to see the Israeli government acting to expand its illegal settlements, to oppress the Palestinian people, to deny Palestinians' right of return, and so on, is particularly painful. Governments seem to be doing nothing about it at all. In fact, if they're doing anything, unlike the British government, selling equipment to actually aid in the Israeli oppression of the Palestinians. So what can one do? Call for a boycott of Israeli scientific institutions. The campaign against the Palestinian people and the Palestinian Authority, launched at the end of March 2002 by the government headed by Ariel Sharon, in defiance of United Nations resolutions and the Geneva Conventions, has led to a military reoccupation of the Palestinian territories in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and to a dramatic increase in human rights violations. Under these circumstances, I can no longer in good conscience continue to cooperate with official Israeli institutions, including universities. I will attend no scientific conferences in Israel. I will not participate as referee in hiring or promotion decisions by Israeli universities or in the decisions of Israeli funding agencies. I will continue to collaborate with and host Israeli scientific colleagues on an individual basis. Hilary Rose, sociologist, and I drafted the petition, sent it round to friends, and within a very short space of time, we got something over 120 signatures. At that stage, we published it in The Guardian. The response was substantial. Many other people wrote in saying they wanted to support it as well. In fact, there was a flood of email support, not just from this country, but from all over Europe. And eventually, we had to establish a website to actually collect the signatures for people wanting to sign the petition. One of the most pleasing things, I suppose, and important for us, was to receive a message of support from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, because really, the relationship between what we're doing and the campaign of sanctions against South Africa during the time of apartheid is very, very close. Jews have a right to live anywhere in the land of Israel. Hand off Israel, racist, you're a Nazi pig. Others call me. What we hadn't expected was a deluge of hate mail that we've received, accusing us of being anti-Semitic and even Holocaust deniers. Here's one that just came this morning, making the other point. Pity you weren't Auschwitz, it says. Nice, isn't it? Israelis are completely incapable of understanding that to be Jewish is not necessarily to be a supporter of Israel, and it is possible to criticize Israel without being anti-Semitic. In fact, so many Jewish academics have signed the petition document in order to make a very clear declaration of not in my name. Of course, there have been recent criticisms of the campaign and the call at all. One is, of course, that it hurts individual Israelis who are affected by the boycott, and many of them may actually be peace activists themselves. We, of course, support the peace activists in their activities, and it's very painful to actually boycott or cut off relationships with long-standing research collaborators. Nonetheless, this is an attack not on individual scholars, but on an attempt to boycott Israeli institutions as in a way of putting pressure on the government. The very ferocity of the response by Israelis and by their supporters suggests to us that this is an important act, and it's something that the Israeli government is going to have to take seriously. As Martin Luther King said, our lives begin to end the day we fail to speak out about things that matter.
Well, we're joined now here in the studio by Professor Hilary Rose of the City University, by Professor Mark Eisenstadt of the Open University, and from Jerusalem by Dr. Aaron Benevot of the Hebrew University in that city. Dr. Benevot, what do you make of this boycott call?
Well, I first of all have no problem with the fact that there are Jews both in the United Kingdom and elsewhere in Europe who have a desire to criticize the Israeli government policies, and I believe this to be a very important right that they should have, and to continue to voice their opposition to the degree that they have, and also those who support the Israeli policies. What I do have a problem with is the call to boycott Israeli academia and Israeli academic institutions. I believe this to be a very unfair, immoral, inappropriate action on the part of British and other European academics.
Okay, Hillary, and just let me pick it up with Hillary Rose. This is a very blunt instrument, the boycott, isn't it? It penalizes people who may actually share your prejudices.
Yes. And it's all the more courageous that we have a number of Israeli academics who signed it. And that is exactly the same situation as we had in South Africa, where some of the more courageous of the white South Africans also joined the boycott and supported it, recognizing that it harmed their interest as academics, but that it did a great deal for securing social justice in South Africa. And I would argue, and as this quite modest moratorium that we've called will help secure justice in the Middle East.
Professor Eisenhower, what do you make of the comparison with South Africa?
Well, I'm worried. I think there are indeed some aspects of the analogy that are valid, but there are others that worry me. And the one in particular, I guess, is that I don't feel like I hear the activists, the refuseniks, the activists on the front line primarily in the current situation calling out for the boycott or endorsing it. So even though you have some support from Desmond Tutu and so on, and there are some analogies, I think I don't hear people like Schlesinger, who got sacked from this journal, for example, saying, well, it was personally painful to me, but thank you, because this will further the cause. I don't hear that overwhelmingly from the Israeli activists, from the refuseniks, and so on. Of course, you hear it in some quarters. You have some Israeli signatures. I don't hear it overwhelmingly like I did in the South African case, and I think that's fundamentally different because we have to draw our guidance from that kind of call.
There were an awful lot of white South Africans who kept talking about the enormous damage that it was doing to the academic institutions. I notice that you have only quoted Jewish or Israeli voices saying this is unreasonable. Where is the discussion? Where here now are the Palestinian academics speaking about the boycott? There's a tremendous lack of consultation with Palestinian academics by the media. They're silenced at every turn.
I'd love to hear consultation. I think discussion and dialogue is what it's all about, which is why I'm opposed to the academic boycott.
This is a boycott specifically of Israeli academics. That's why we're discussing it with an Israeli academic and two British academics, one of whom supports the boycott and the other of whom doesn't.
Well, one of the big arguments made, for example, by Nature, was that one of the pities about our call for a boycott was that what we asked for was for Israel to be excluded from the European research system until such time as it entered the peace process seriously. And one of the responses that we had was that this actually got in the way of collaboration between Palestinians and Israelis.
Dr. Benavort, in Israel, would that have brought political pressure to bear, or would it just have been a gesture?
No, I don't think it would have brought any political pressure at all. I think we need to keep in mind that the vast majority of Israeli academics are among the most critical and clearly feel that they are part of civil society, independent role, that they're not voices of the present government or political regime, and they have been supporters of all kinds of different movements, social movements, activist groups, refuseniks, whatever it might be. Academics have actually been at the forefront of much of those movements, and not only that, the some of the programs that the European Union has funded and other programs funded by European institutions have actually brought together Palestinian, Arab, and Israeli scientists to work together towards pursuing different scientific goals. And it seems like this would really cut back these very special kinds of programs that have been set forth.
Henry Rose, one of the things that has followed this boycott is the dismissal of two Israelis at the University of Manchester Institute of Science and Technology. On the grounds
from a journal. Not dismissal from the university.
From a journal published by
from a journal board.
Right.
Yes.
On the grounds they were Israelis.
Yes. I mean, what our original call for.
That's racism,
was,
isn't it?
I don't think that racism is usually what you describe people belonging to a nation state.
What would you think of if someone was sacked because they were British or
but
Greek?
Hold
or
on a minute. What I found fascinating is that it's only this case of one person's action. What has not been discussed by the media, what is not under discussion here tonight, are the number of people against whom actions have been taken because they have signed. The pressures that have been put on them by their particularly American Jewish colleagues trying to exclude them from journal boards in the States. And there's an enormous amount going on.
So you justify the decision?
No, I neither want to justify it nor not justify it. I see that if you agree that you will take ethical steps, that those steps will not be the same from one person to the next, and so I would support it in the general sense of this isn't like something out of New Labour where we're all supposed to sing off the same hymn sheet. This is actually different academics with different responses.
The action that prompted me to write my letter to The Guardian, hence come on here, was indeed that journal sacking, and I guess I'd just like to be clear. I'd like to hear you say that was one step too far, because having read your own boycott wording many times over, it seems to me that's way out of bounds. You're not talking about affecting individuals, even though, of course, it's individuals that pay the price. This was retribution against two individuals. There's no way this was an action against the institutions.
I think that's a different stage, and there's a discussion going on in Israel at the moment, as Dr. Benavort will well know, between different, as it were, peaceniks, arguing about this and saying that there is already a cultural boycott of Israel. People are refusing, their explanation is not mine, are refusing to accept honours being offered by the Israeli universities because they feel it is unacceptable to go there, that it's like entering South Africa at the height of apartheid. This is their discussion, not mine. So I think what you have to recognise is what we called for was a quite modest institutional boycott. What is now happening is that people are taking this that much further and are actually moving against individuals.
So I have a very quick last word.
My fear is that even this debate is secondary, that the real issues, I'd like to see yourself and Stephen working on a different kind of movement, maybe working towards a Dump Sharon movement, for example,
right,
rather than this secondary issue.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Tomorrow morning's newspapers are coming up in a moment. Before that, though, a roundup of